Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Listen, I did a series at the Tulsa campus back in September, I think it was, called The End Series. And as I speak here now, I may be gone one or two Sundays, but then I come back. And I wanna share that series with you here because it's dealing with who we are in Christ. And that's one of the most important things that you can get a hold of is who you are in Christ. And of course, a lot of people like a title. So the title for this first part of the End Series is The End Factor. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, while you're turning there, you know, everybody always wants to get in with the in crowd. How many of you remember when I went to high school a long time ago. I graduated in 1958, but how many remember in school you always wanted to get in with the in crowd? Huh? You know, get in, and you know, now in the business world, it's getting in on the ground floor, getting in, you know, and so it's totally different when you're in than when you're outside looking in. How many found that out? Well, that's true in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, most of you know what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or any person, or anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm going to read that from several translations, because sometimes reading it from a different translation gives us a little bit different slant, a little bit different look into it. The Knox translation says, it follows, in fact, that when a man becomes a new creature in Christ, his old life has disappeared and everything about him has become new. Now, the Phillips version says, for if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished, gone, everything has become fresh and new. Of course, we realize that when we're using the word man there, that means mankind. That's a neutral gender term meaning everybody. Now, the Wade version. So if anyone becomes united to Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. Mark, they have been replaced by new conditions. In the Living Bible, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Now, sometimes when we're talking and we use the word in Christ, sometimes people don't really understand what we're talking about or understand what we mean by that. And I want to read from Barnes' notes on the Bible. You know, I mean, reading from these different translations and from Barnes' notes on the Bible, you know, that's what we do. We preachers, we have all kinds of different translations and all kinds of different things that give us different, you know, like many of you in your businesses, you have different books and things that you go to that give you a different slant on something. And so not Barnes' notes on the Bible, Albert Barnes, he says, the phrase to be in Christ evidently means to be united to Christ by faith, or to be in him as the branch is in the vine. That is, so united to the vine, or so in it as to derive all of its nourishment and support from it, and to be sustained entirely by it. Now, in other words, when we become connected are in Christ, we become one with him. Now, Paul says that Christ is the head and the born-again believers are the body. How many have heard that before from teachers? Okay, now, our whole Christian life is in Christ, immersed in him to the extent that we are wholly dependent upon Christ in our Christian living. In fact, Paul says it this way in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. In him. See, there's that phrase, in him again. That means in Christ. We live and move and have our being. You know, this means then that Christ's nature, the spiritual condition of the head, is the same spiritual condition that flows to every member of the body. Now, the truth is, there's more to us than sometimes we realize. There's more life in Christ. I'm talking about being in Christ. There's more life. There's more power. There's more righteousness. There's more peace. There's more abilities. There's more knowledge than we realize. I used to talk to my dad about this. That dad was really, if you don't know who my dad was, he was Kenneth E. Hagin, who was recognized as one of the great spiritual leaders of the charismatic renewal. And he used to say, if people would really understand who they are in Christ, what they have because of Christ, he said their lives will be a whole lot different. And he was really big into getting a hold of that. In fact, I'm going to mention here in a minute, but he has a little book out there called In Him, in which he has all the scriptures in him. Anybody ever read that little book, In Him? It's a great little book. Now, when we get born again, we become a new creation in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. According to this verse, a born-again person undergoes a radical change and becomes a new creation. How many of you, when you become born again, you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, there was radical change in you? You were not the same anymore, right? You know, the Phillips version, as we go back to it, said they become a new person. The A.S. Wade version said a fresh creation. Fresh means something that's new. The Living Bible said becomes a brand new person inside, not the same anymore. Now, again, I want to read from Albert Barnes, Barnes' notes on the Bible. No matter what they have been, this is talking about a person, whether moral or immoral, whether infidel or speculative believer, whether amiable or debased, sensual or polluted, yet if they become Christians, they all experience such a change as to make it proper to say that they are a new creation. You know, Adam Clark, in his commentary, now, if you are a minister, Adam Clark is considered, he was lived long time ago, but he's considered one of the best in his commentary. Now, y'all might not know it, but Brother John there, he's a retired minister. Well, I think he still ministers when there's opportunity. But I'm sure if you ask him, he's read Adam Clark and probably Albert Barnes too, because how many of you are in a professional field? You know, you work in a professional field. How many of you, there are different books that you can go read concerning about different areas in the field you're working in? Well, that's the same thing that we ministers do. And then we share it with you then. See, you don't have to go look it up. We already done it for you. He says here, he talking about a person that's in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, a little world in himself. Formerly, all was in chaotic disorder. Now is in this new creation, which God himself owns as his workmanship, and which he can look on and pronounce very good. That's what Clark says about it. Now, you know, many Christians think when they got born again, all that happened is they got forgiven and they changed their destination from hell to heaven. That's what some people think. Now, thank God that did happen. But we need to realize that there's a whole lot more to it than that. We become a new creation. God gave us a new nature. You know, so as we get into this, we need to realize then that the first thing I said that you needed to realize was when you get born again, you become a new creation. The second thing you need to realize is that when you become born again, your sinful past was removed and done away with. You know, there are many people in the kingdom of God that they're always being haunted by their past. It says, old things have passed away. The moment you be born again, your old sinful nature was taken out of you. A new righteous and holy nature was put into you. In the moment, faster than you can blink an eye, the Holy Spirit did spiritual surgery. He removed the old sinful man and installed a new righteous man inside of you, our person. The old sinful nature was gone, and now you are no longer under the authority of that sinful nature. Now you are under the authority of the righteous nature of Christ that is in you. You see, you know, it says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So don't let anybody tell you you're not righteous. If you're born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are a new person. A Christian can live right because that's their nature now. You know, why should we be upset with sinners? Because they're sinning. That's their nature. They do what they do. You know, why be upset with your dog when it barks? That's what a dog does. Hello? You know? Some people say, well, I don't know why that I just keep sinning. I do, because that's what you are. You have the sinful nature. That's what the Word of God says. That we have to ask God for forgiveness. We become a new person in Christ. We have then we become the righteousness of God in Christ. See, not only were your sins forgiven, but your old past was completely taken away, removed. It doesn't exist anymore. You know, we used to sing the song, Power in the Blood. Any of you never know that song, Power in the Blood? I know if you're a Pentecostal or a Baptist, you did, because I know they sang that song. Now, I don't know about the Methodists or some of the others, but now the old-time Methodists did, I know, because my grandmother, my mom's mom, she lived to be 90 in 1985 when she went home to be with the Lord, and she used to talk about she said when I was a girl going to old Methodist camp meetings, and she'd talk about, you know, well, if she died and she is 90 in 1985, so you can tell she go back into the 1800s when she was born. But, you know, there's power in the blood of Jesus, and that blood removes all of our sins and all of our wrongdoing and all of our unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus makes us clean. The Bible says that it makes us white as snow. Every wrong that you ever had done does not exist anymore. It does not exist. You know, too many people, they get caught up in the fact, well, you know, and the enemy will come to you and say, well, you just better thank God that you got saved. Now, there's no use you thinking that you're going to get anything else from God, that God can do anything else for you because of what you done in the past. Anybody ever had any of that happen to you? Yeah, some of you have. How many of you know somebody that's talked to you, a friend that said the enemy talked to him? See, you need to tell him and put him on notice right there. Hey, that doesn't exist. That does not exist. You're a new person in Christ. Anything that was happened before you were born again, it does not exist. It's gone. Forever. That's what the Bible says. Hello. We need to learn to walk in our right standing with God. That's what's righteous. Some say, well, I'm not righteous enough. If you've been born again, you are, because righteousness simply means right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. Now, you know, some people think that means holiness. No, righteousness has nothing to do with holiness. Holiness is one subject. Righteousness is another subject. Righteousness comes through the inner man that is born again. Holiness comes through the outer man that the inner man is taking charge of and changes and causes. Paul said he took charge of his. He said, "I take charge of Paul." I'm going to paraphrase it, 2015 language. In other words, the man on the inside, that's the person that becomes the righteousness of God in Christ. But then you have to do something about the natural man. He said, renew your mind with the word. That's how you change the outward man, is by renewing your mind with the word. That's where holiness can come in, okay? Now, I'm not talking about long hair and short hair and a dress and all that kind of stuff. Now, we all realize that there is a proper way to dress and as Christians and so forth, but that's a bunch of nonsense. Come on now. We need to realize that there are a lot of traditions that get passed down in religion that are not of the Bible. Now, I do believe that a person should dress with some whatever, I don't know what's the word I want here, I'm using some modesty, there you go, and so forth and so on. But hey, you know, some people, you know, they say you shouldn't wear makeup, or, you know, and some people say, well, you don't have a tie on, you're preaching without a tie, and the Lord can't move. I've heard people say that. Well, hey, you go back in history, and you'll find out that go way on back in the old Pentecostals, and people got saved, they didn't wear ties because that's what the world did. Way back, they didn't wear ties because that's what the world did. You go back and study, you'll find out that's so. You know, a lot of things that have become tradition in churches, and not just Pentecostal or charismatic, but all churches, came in because, well, that's what the world does, so we don't do it. Well, and it wasn't nothing, you know. I better get off of that while I can. All right. The third thing you need to know about being in Christ is all things have become new. Everything has become new. A.S. Wade says they have been replaced by new conditions. The Living Bible says a new life has begun. A new, new spiritual realities exist in this new life. From the moment you were born again, first of all, you have a new identity in Christ. Now, how many of you this week or in maybe the past few days have been somewhere doing something and they asked you for identification? Huh? You can even go to your bank where you do business. You can go to the cashier there at the bank that you've been going to for years. What's her name? Kathy, I think's her name, we go to. But she's still on certain transactions. She still will ask me. She knows who I am. We've been doing business. But she still will ask me for identification. If you go out to the airport, you're going to have to prove who you are before you ever get on an airplane. How many of you have flown recently? Yeah, you have to. You have to prove who you are. Identification. We have a new identity. We are no longer the same person that we were. We have a new identification. Now, with being in Christ, we have new rights and privileges. We have new benefits. You know, when you start a job, there are rights and privileges that go with that job. There are benefits that go with that job. See, you got to know who you are in Christ. See, when you know who you are in the natural, you can stand up for, but you got to know who you are in the spiritual so you can stand up against the enemy. Now, my daughter, she's the student ministry's pastor, and she's over all the children from the time they go into the nursery until the time they graduate from high school. Of course, she got people under. And in fact, she is the one that controls what goes on here in our area. She's the one that sets it all up and tells everything that goes on. Now, she is about five, I think. So she was running down the hall toward where my office and my dad's office used to be. And she is running down the hall. And somebody said, "Little girl, little girl, what are you doing running in the hall? You can't do that." And she, you know, she's 5 years old. She whirled around and she said, "Do you know who I am?" And then turned around and took off running. She was trying to tell them, "Hey, I know what my name is. And I know who controls this place around here. It happens to be my grandfather and my dad." What she was telling that person, "I have a right to be in here doing what I'm doing." Hello? Now, how many of you work at jobs where if you're going to, if you see somebody that you don't know, you are supposed to ask them what they're doing there and ask them for identification? Anybody work in jobs like that? You know, I mean, anymore at the ministry, we have to, you know, I mean, you can come in the door and there's a reception there, but you're not going any, I mean, there's a door that goes back into the hall. It's locked. She can push a button and let you in. There's a door that goes into HR over here. It's locked, so that HR has to let you in. And there's another door that goes into project manager's area where a lot of salesmen and stuff come in and talk to Patty, because that's we do the printing and so forth and so on. But, hey, when you come in there, then you can come up, you come in the front door, you come up some stairs, and it goes into mine and Craig and Lynette's office area, and that door is locked up at the top of those stairs. And you're going to get in there, you have to call upstairs. Why? Because you have to identify yourself and say, "What in the world, why are you doing in here in the first place?" Hello? I mean, there's all kinds of jobs where you have to have identification. Every one of our employees have an identification tag. Patrick, you got your identification tag with you?
Yes.
Where is it?
My employee tag?
No, your ID for that you check in at the ministry with. You got it with you? Or is it at home on your desk? Is at home because you pick it up every day when you go. Hey, yeah. But every one of our employees, Patrick happened to be an employee, they have a identification card. Now, the ones that are on hourly, they use that to clock in and out with. If you go to the door, if you're a new employee and I don't know who you are and I'm going in the back door at the same time you're there and you want to come in that door, I'm going to say, "Wait a minute, who are you?" Because I may not know who they are. Jesse, you don't have your ID card with you, do you? Yeah, Jesse, let me see that. This is Jesse Rayner. He works for us. He also comes over here. That's his, it says, Rhema Bible Church. Jesse Rayner got his name on it, his picture on it. It tells what department he works in. And then it's got the barcode on the back that when he puts that in there, that recognizes who he is. That's his ID card. That gets him in to where he needs to go. He works in the heating, air conditioning, and electric shop stuff. So he has to go check on all kinds of stuff. Electrical, here, Jesse, you can come get that. But that's his identification. Have you ever been asked to show that?
A couple times.
You know, after a while, you learn who people are. But first of all, that identifies him to who he is. How many of you have an identification deal where you work that you have to have? I know Glenn does because he works with some of that other stuff that I worked with when I was in the Army and that security stuff. Hey, that's the world we live in has identification. Identifies who you are. You have a driver's license. It identifies that you are a driver in the state of Oklahoma. How many of you have a passport? How many of you got a passport? You use that to identify yourself as an American citizen. Is that not correct? With that passport, I don't care where you are in the world, if there is a place there called the embassy that is flying that the stars and stripes of the United States, you can run into there because you have a right to. You identify who you are, and then you have a right to have to the rights and privileges of a U.S. citizen. Hey, that's who we are in Christ. We have a new identification, and we have rights and privileges in Christ that belong to us because of who we are. Hello. We have a new position in Christ. We have a new destination. You know, we have to learn how to live in Him. How do you learn how to live in Him? You learn by knowing what the Word of God says about being in Christ. Dad said in his book, In Him, he says, Christians, he tells us how to live our life in Christ here on earth. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to live in Christ. You can begin to right here today where you are. There are more than 140 scriptures that contain the phrases in Christ, in Him, in whom, through whom, in our Lord. These are the scriptures that you need to find and meditate on because they begin to tell you who you are in Christ, what you can do because you're in Christ, what you have because you're in Christ. Now, you don't even have to go look them up. If you go out there and get that little book in Him, they're already there for you. You just say, you got them there already. You don't have to go look them up. But you see, you need to get these scriptures and you need to begin to meditate on it. You need to read this as, this is who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am an overcomer in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, you need to begin to meditate on these. You need to get up every day and confess who you are in Christ. It'll change your outlook on the world. It'll change change your day from a bad day to a good day. Yes, it doesn't matter what anybody says. I'm a righteousness of God in Christ. Right. Somebody said, can you accomplish this? Yeah, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Not all. Somebody said, oh, I know you can do spiritual. I said, no, that doesn't say spiritual thing. It said, I can do all things. All things. There is nothing there that says all spiritual things. It says all things. It means all things. Then we need to confess who we are in Christ. Get up every day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm more than a conqueror today as I go through today. No weapon formed against me can prosper because of who I am. See, we need to really know who we are. You see, on page 9 of that little book In Him, Dad said, everything in the Bible is ours. It is legally ours. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it is your believing and your confessing it, which makes it a reality to you. It's a legal document. A legal document sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that says who you are and what you can have. This Bible. How many got your Bible with you? Or you got it on one of your devices? Hold it up. Say, this says who. Say this with me. This says who I am in Christ. This says what I have in Christ. This says what I can do in Christ. I believe it. And it will come to pass in my life because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get a hold of that. See, don't believe the devil's lie that you can't make it when he comes and tells you you can't make it. Don't believe it when he tells you things will never change. Instead, discover the new life in Christ. It's been provided for you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you begin to find out all of that, you'll begin to enjoy a new way of living in him. That's just something, a little something that I got when I was putting this together. In him. Turn to somebody and say, in him. In him. I live and move and have my being. Hallelujah. All my needs are met in him. My body is healed in him. I have all things in him. I am more than a conqueror in him. I always triumph in victory in him. Put your hands up and thank God, because in him we have life and liberty and happiness. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Anybody get anything out of this? I love this series. I love teaching this because I understand that when people really get a hold of who they are in Christ, it changes everything about them. It changes the way they look at life. It changes the way they live, because they live. You can live in victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. If there happens to be anybody here that's not in Christ, I want you to find him and be in Christ before you leave here tonight. Or you need to rededicate your life. Or you go to church, but you don't know whether you ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that we believe in what the Bible says? Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Lift your hands and thank God. We're all Christians in this place tonight. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Does anybody need to be prayed for healing tonight? If so, stand up and come forward, and we'll pray for you right now. Anybody? Everybody stand. We have a cloth that we want to pray for. Person has signs of colon cancer. Let's pray right now. Reach your hands out as we pray. See, Acts 19:11-12 said they brought a handkerchief and apron from the Apostle Paul. When they were laid on the sick, they recovered. If evil spirits, they left. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, when she touched Jesus' clothes. Touched his clothes, she was healed. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We lay hands on this cloth. I thank you that the healing anointing, that healing power is flowing into this cloth. And when it's laid upon that one, I thank you that that healing power go in and drive out this colon cancer is gone. This is well. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. Now raise your hands and thank God, because it's done in Jesus' name. I thank you for it right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Where did you get anything out of this tonight? Well, the next time I speak, we'll go to the next lesson on it, and so you know the next time I hear, you know what I'm going to be talking about, being in Christ. I don't know about you, but that excites me, because I understand what, if I can get you to understand what you really have in Christ, it should get you excited too. It should get us excited, because in Christ, everything is new, and praise God, hallelujah. All right, glory to God, I better go on. Amen. Hallelujah. What was I fixing to say? Okay, now, any of you that are interested in going over for the men's conference and staying with the hotel block, see Brother Glenn after church, and he'll help you on that. Or otherwise, if you can just come over on Thursday night, or you can take off work and come over Friday and then Friday night, do so. Now, I think the best part of the men's conference is the Saturday morning when we all have communion together. That's one of the best parts of the whole deal. But, hey, it's all going to be good. So we only invite you to come over and be a part. Hey, I'm going to go over here to the door. She's going to go to one side, and we'll shake hands. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Hey, next Sunday night right here, Come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night. Have the whole weekend to enjoy everything you want to do. And then come and worship God with us at 6 o'clock. Bring somebody with you. God bless. See you next week.